I guess you can't really turn in your Bibles, but I'm going to read a couple verses and then we'll get into the sermon this evening. In Leviticus chapter 23, we read this in verse 32. It shall be unto you a Sabbath of rest, and you shall afflict your souls, and the ninth day of the month at even, from unto even, you shall celebrate your Sabbath. Then in verse 41, it says, and you shall keep it a feast unto the Lord 7 days in the year. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. You shall celebrate it in the seventh month. Then when you turn to Isaiah, or I'll read Isaiah chapter 38 and verse 18. And there we read this verse, Isaiah 38 and verse 18. For the grave cannot praise thee, death cannot celebrate thee, they that go down into the pit cannot hope for thy truth. Let's pray. Dear God, Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this time of year. Help us, dear God, to celebrate it as we ought to. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the word celebrate is mentioned in all three of these verses and no other place in the Bible. And each one of those words for celebrate is a bit different. Sometimes it means a cause to celebrate. Other times to praise or extol, to honor with marks of joy, and to observe a festival. We are about to celebrate Christmas. And while some believers can be Scrooges, others like the Grinch, I prefer to be merry and joyous, for I believe that the birth of our Savior is a reason to celebrate. For without his virgin birth, there would be no cross upon which the Lord would die for the sin of the world. There would be no resurrection after 3 days and three nights in the grave. And we would not experience the joy of salvation as we currently do. Some will choose to have a bah humbug kind of attitude during this time. Yet the angel of the Lord did appear to the shepherds and say unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And if that angel could be joined by the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill toward men, I tend to believe that the arrival of the newborn king all those years ago is still worth celebrating today. Now, the word Christmas comes from an English term meaning Christ Mass or Christ service of worship, and it is celebrated on the 25th day of December. You say, was that the day Christ's child arrived in Bethlehem's manger? Did he arrive really in the midst of winter? Well, we don't know, but it is a day that we do set aside to emphasize how God became human and how humans can come back to God. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his name is Emmanuel, or God with us. I have heard some strong opinions as well as negative ones concerning whether or not believers should celebrate the birth of Jesus, who was born in this world and not from it. And though angels announced his arrival and prophecies foretold of his coming, this is a debate that has yet to be settled. This much I know. I'm glad he came. I'm grateful he's my Savior. And every day with Jesus brings me great joy. I, for one, enjoy hearing Christmas carols being sung, the story of the Nativity being told, and the focus being on Christ this time of year. I have often wondered why some Christians will celebrate national holidays such as Memorial Day, the 4th of July, Thanksgiving, and they'll celebrate their birthdays, anniversaries, and that commercialized Valentine's Day, but they sour on such holidays as Christmas and Easter. Why are so many critical, cynical, and downhearted over these two great events concerning our Lord and our Savior? Why are so many disagreeable? Why do they feel such a need to take their stand and make this time of year a less joyous one? Is it not written in Romans 14:5, one man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. We as believers should be allowed to have special days to celebrate. And those who choose not to should be afforded the same privilege. We just need to make sure that no matter if we celebrate Christmas or not, we do so for the Lord's sake and not on the basis of some prejudice we have developed or some opinion we may possess. Right. Some will say, well, preacher, there is no command to celebrate Christmas. And I say, you're right. You are correct. Yet is there any command telling us to celebrate our birthdays? Our anniversary? The day our nation declared its independence? Our Valentine's Day? There were times of celebrations, even in the scriptures, that were not commanded by God. Have you read about the Feast of Purim? When the Jews were delivered from Haman's plot to destroy them? Or how about the multitudes of disciples who celebrated the triumphant entry of Jesus into the city of Jerusalem for the last time before his death? So please don't find fault with those of us who celebrate the birth of the one who came and delivered us from the bondage of sin. Besides, are we not commanded by God to have joy and be rejoicing? And this time of year should be no exception. I realize that Christmas can be tough on many. For some have a loved one who isn't at home for one reason or another. Others have had a hard time with health. Some are struggling with financial problems. Then there are those who are facing difficulties in their family or have lost a close friend. Every one of us has plenty of reasons to throw ourselves a pity party. And so it is important that we get our eyes on Jesus and we celebrate him in the midst of winter. Are we not told in Isaiah 61, verse 10, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. And how about what is written in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, which tells us, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. I find the emphasis being put on Christ at Christmas takes my mind off my own problems and gives me to celebrate the reason for the season. And if I'm to have a Merry Christmas, it will be up to me whether or not I choose to rejoice in the Lord. While tomorrow we celebrate our Lord's birth, those of us who have experienced a second birth can and should have a continual feast. God has commanded his people to celebrate. And there were times throughout the year that they were set aside and those days were special. In Leviticus chapter 23, there were 8 such events. And they were called the feasts of the Lord. Now, God didn't call us to a funeral. He called us to a feast. The first one was the weekly Sabbath. Christ, our Sabbath, our rest, And yes, it's still a Bible principle that one day out of seven, our bodies need rest and our souls need a focus on the Lord. We on Sunday, which is the Lord's Day, celebrate the day that our Lord came forth from the grave and completed the gospel. Sunday ought to be special. It ought not to be treated like any other day. And it's time to be in the Lord's house, where we sing his praises and hear more about him. Yes, Sunday is a day to celebrate. It is written in Leviticus 23:3, 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest, an holy convocation. You shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. The second feast happens to be the Passover, and it speaks about the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our Passover lamb that was sacrificed for us. The third feast is the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and it reminds us that Jesus sustains us and strengthens us along life's journey. The fourth feast was a Feast of First Fruits, and it pictures the order of the resurrection with Christ being the first one. The fifth feast is Pentecost, and it speaks of the glorified Christ sending the Holy Spirit to endue us with power from on high. The sixth feast is the Feast of Trumpet, which speaks of Christ gathering his people. And the seventh feast is the Day of Atonement, and it speaks of Christ's future cleansing of his people, as we will no longer have any spot, wrinkle, or blemish. The eighth feast is the Feast of Tabernacle, and it speaks of Christ sharing his blessings with us in the kingdom age. Now, these feasts were times to celebrate, times to enjoy with family and friends. They were holidays as well as holy days, and they were all about Jesus and his goodness to his people and the joy that he gives to them. If one is to have a Merry Christmas, it won't happen if it's all about you. It must focus on Jesus and the blessings he bestows upon us. I'm not one during this time of year who enjoys seeing Christmas cards signed Merry Xmas. Nor do I greet others with Happy Holidays. And there's been times when someone says Happy Holiday, I say, what holiday are you speaking of? I say Merry Christmas, and I do so on purpose. And we send out Christmas cards that say that, for I want to keep Christ in Christmas and have it centered on the Savior. In the book of Nehemiah, we read that the people gathered themselves before the water gate on the first day of the seventh month in Nehemiah chapter 8, which happened to be the Feast of Trumpets. It was to be a time to celebrate the time when Christ would gather his people. Yet on this occasion, the word of God brought great conviction to those who were there. And verse 1 through 12 tells us what took place. It says, and all the people gathered themselves together as one man. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe, bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord has commanded to Israel. Would to God we would come to a church where the people would say, bring us the book. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both men and women, and all that could hear with understanding. And he read therein from morning until midday before the men and the women and those could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood, which they had made for the purpose. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up and blessed, and Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, both men and women said, amen, amen, with lifting up their hands. and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Also Jeshua and Bani and Sherebiah and Jamin and Akub and Shabbathai and Hodijah and Maaseiah and Kalida, Azariah, Josabad, Hanan, Peliah, and the Levites caused the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. So they read in the book of the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. And Nehemiah, which is the Tirshatha, and Ezra the priest, the scribe, and the Levites taught the people, said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not nor weep. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto the Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites stilled all the people, saying, hold your peace, for the day is holy, neither be ye grieved. And all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions and to make great mirth, because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. When these folks were faced with the truth of God's word, they were awestruck by their disobedience and how far that they had strayed from God. Their sorrow was short-lived, however, as they were met with the admonition to rejoice, to celebrate, participate in the holy day, send portions and gifts to others. Even in our sorrow, we can go from sad to glad when we make this holiday all about Jesus. Sure, we can and should celebrate Jesus every day of the year, but that should not discount the importance of the special day that Christmas offers. God's people are commanded to celebrate. That means we are to actively participate and be part of what God has done for us. Celebration, rejoicing, and thanksgiving are all an important part of the way that God has for his people. 'Tis true that the word celebrate appears just 3 times in Scripture, but its practice and principle goes from cover to cover. Those same principles apply today. And I'm not going to allow anyone else to put a damper on me celebrating my Savior and when the Word became flesh. These special days of salvation are often times of decision, dedication, and renewed devotion to the one who loved us and gave himself for us. Scriptural celebration is a time to focus on the Lord, a time to feast, be joyous, spend time with family, and yes, even give gifts as we at Christmas are reminded of God's unspeakable gift to us. The birth of Jesus has been and will continue to be a cause of joy and celebration. And just because at some point in the past, other things have been mixed in with the truth of Christ's birth, doesn't mean our celebration of his arrival should be done away with. If we don't keep the emphasis on Christ this time of year, it won't be long before Christmas is nothing more than Santa, his reindeer, and getting the best deals on Black Friday. To be quite frank, I'm not going to let those who focus on all that is wrong and celebrate Christmas in a different way than I do rob me and my family of what tomorrow brings and means to us. Oh yeah, we put up lights. We even put up trees. We bought gifts. And we're going to enjoy a feast all in honor of Christ's birth. And I, for one, will not feel one bit guilty for doing so. For it is a time to rejoice in the Lord. For he came down from heaven all those years ago. In addition to Christmas, I plan on celebrating Easter as well. The time when Christ rose bodily from the grave. And you know what? I'm going to celebrate every birthday as a reminder of God's goodness, protection, and provision from the past year. I will enjoy my anniversary as I celebrate God's plan for marriage in the home and how God has blessed me with such a godly wife. At Thanksgiving, I'm going to be grateful for all that God has done. And I don't want it to devolve into something just called Turkey Day. Yes, there are special days to celebrate. And they are more joyous when we make them about the Lord and His goodness to us. Besides those special occasions, we should desire to promote a spirit of joy in our lives at all times. We as God's people should have a happy, optimistic outlook on life. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 13 says, "A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance." Don't go around looking like droopy with such a long face and then tell others you are happy in Jesus. Just the other day, we were watching a commercial, and this guy was telling about how happy he was, and Connie started laughing. I wasn't paying attention. I said, "What's so funny?" She says, "Guy's talking about how happy he is, and he looks miserable." You see, when you smile, don't make it look so painful. Proverbs 15:15 says, "He that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast." One can decide to be miserable. And when they do, they're very successful at it. And they find plenty of excuses for being that way. Then you have others who are growing through some of the same things as those who, like Eeyore, have a bad case, a poor old me, yet they choose to be happy. You say, "Preacher, it's been a tough year. You don't know all that I've been going through." Probably not. But instead of focusing on yourself, cast your eyes upon Jesus. Count your many blessings. And when you get done with all that, see if you don't have a Merry Christmas and head off into having a Happy New Year. The Bible commands us to rejoice in all the good things that God has done for us. So do we really believe God is good all the time and all the time God is good? Do we really believe that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose? In all reality, we ought to be enjoying a continual feast every day for being saved and living for the Lord. Yes, we can live a life of joy. And we can celebrate at Christmas. And we can celebrate all year long. I know that some believers have a hard time at Christmas because they overreact to how the world celebrates this holiday. Sure, they ignore God's Son who came as a babe in the manger in order to be the lamb of sacrifice and pay our sin debt on the cross. Yeah, people will overspend as businesses make a buck off of just about everything. And those who line their pockets with obscene profits, they will sing sarcastically, "Oh, what a friend we have in Jesus." But let those of us who know Him sing such Christmas carols as "Joy to the World, O little town of Bethlehem, or O come, all you faithful." None of God's people should dislike Christmas just as much as an atheist does, just because the world has distorted its meaning. Are we not commanded to rejoice, to thank the Lord, to sing and celebrate His goodness to us? And should we not at this time of year focus on the gift of God's Son? Is that not a cause for celebration? I don't know about everybody else, but I plan on celebrating every Christmas by endeavoring to keep everything focused on my Lord, thanking him for his blessing and his wonderful gifts. If you're one of those who think it's worldly, unchristian, or even sinful to enjoy Christmas, well, that's your prerogative. You go ahead and do so. Just keep it to yourself. But for the rest of us, let's celebrate him. And when we do, we will have a very merry Christmas. Everyone standing.